Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sunday morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors down the row. If you're a first-time visitor to Berry Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that Lana will bring to you where you're seated. If you'll simply raise your hand to let us know where you're seated. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Welcome. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's a little tan-colored information sheet inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in this morning's service. Please note the bulletin insert that shares information about Vacation Bible School, which will be held here at Berry the fourth week of July. That's July 23rd through 29th, from 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. We would encourage you to please register your kids by calling the church office, and also we would welcome your attendance as a volunteer. If you just simply sign up on a sign-up sheet in the back. If anybody has questions about volunteering for Vacation Bible School, please see myself or Anna Ekrid at some point. We're grateful for everyone who has made contributions during our June Undies Sundays, as today is our last Sunday for the collection of underwear and socks for school-age children that will be distributed to the Clay County Clothes Closet for then distribution to children before the school year begins. As a reminder, in July, we'll be collecting school supplies, so be on the lookout for information in the bulletin about that outreach program. Ladies, please remember the CWF regional event is this Thursday evening, June 28th at 6 o'clock. Please call Ardith Haynes by tomorrow if you wish to attend. Her phone number is in the bulletin announcement page. We're grateful for Josh Whistler's assistance this morning as our song leader and our special music while Andrew's on vacation with his family. Josh was a performer with Andrew in the Men of Faith musical that I know many of you went and saw. We've seen Josh here a time or two as well. He's come to join us in worship a few times. So welcome, Josh. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's give Josh a little welcoming round of applause. All right. Are there any other announcements this morning? Phil has a word to share.
Let me be the first to wish each of you this morning a Kellogg's double good morning. And as Tony used to say, is it being at Berry Christian Church great? Come on, I can't hear you. It's great. Okay. Why I came up this morning was to kind of give you a little update on our search for a custodian. We have begun advertising, and we've advertised in the dispatch. And we're going to, by tomorrow, there'll be a number of websites also where we will be advertising. Hopefully, we will be able to find somebody sooner rather than later. I want to take a minute just to thank all of those folks who have come and have helped keep our church and our sanctuary and fellowship hall and classrooms clean and neat so we may enjoy our time here each Sunday morning. But we are working on the process, and we thought we had a fellow, but it just didn't work out. But again, thank you all, the ones who have come and helped, and hopefully this will be solved sooner rather than later. Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Please rise at this time and join me in the call to worship. As Jesus proclaimed, "Whoever is thirsty should come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will pour out from his heart. Whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring, which will provide him with life-giving water and give him eternal life." Please remain standing and join me in our opening hymn, number 611, "Rise Up, O Saints of God."
Rise up. Rise up, O saints of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O saints of God, the kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of righteousness and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O saints of God, the church for you doth wait, with strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make it great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where Christ's feet have trod. Come, sisters, brothers, in the faith, rise up, O saints of God.
May we bow in prayer. Almighty God, as we journey through the summer months in the Barry community, we do give you thanks for the rain, and with it the cooler weather as a break in the summer heat. We thank you for another day of life and another opportunity to gather in your house in worship, praise, and hearing your word through the teachings of our pastor. O Lord, we welcome the loving presence of Jesus Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship this morning. And we pray in his name, amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing page 511, Strong, Gentle Children. Thank you.
good morning down there. How are you? Have you ever heard anybody say good God morning? I always like saying that, especially when you send an email. Good God morning. Yeah. Did you hear that song they were singing? Strong, gentle children? Yeah. They're singing about you. What do you think about that? You know what strong is. What does gentle mean? Nice. That's exactly right. So they think you're pretty strong, and they think you're pretty nice in this church. Something to think about, huh?
Yeah.
And you're God kids. That's even better. So today we're going to talk about the rain. We've been getting some a little bit, and some people like it and some people don't. Do you like the rain? No? What would you do? I love the rain. We like the sun, so why wouldn't we like the rain? You stay inside a lot. I bet if you ask some people out here, it's a good time to nap. Good nap day when it rains. Yeah, you have to get an umbrella. I don't like umbrellas. I like raincoats because in Missouri, you never know. Then you can just put your hood up. But it's also nice to have shoes, rain shoes in Missouri. Because it comes down so heavy sometimes. Sometimes you'll see torrential rains. And that's like sheets where you have to pull off the road. So we should be happy that we have rain. If we didn't have rain, we wouldn't have very many vegetables to eat. And we sure the heck wouldn't have any flowers that probably open. They'd probably be all like closed up. So next time it rains, I want you to say thank you. Thank you that it's raining. Because here's what you need to think about. If we don't have rain, we don't have rainbows. Yeah, something to think about, huh? He does? We had a whole conversation this morning about rainbows. Like all the kids had something great to say about rainbows. So let's say a prayer, okay? Dear God, we are so thankful for the rain when it comes. We're thankful it reminds us that things grow and it blooms just like we grow. And we bloom when we show our love of you. We pray that you will be with us this week. Take us out into the community and let us shine like the sun. And let us rain like rain with overflowing joy and smiles because we are children of yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you. As we have the opportunity to go before God in prayer, many of you are aware that LaVon Weaver kind of had a run-in with the south end of the education wing here this morning, but she was going to go ahead and be checked out at the hospital here. So please keep her in your prayers in the midst of that journey today. We also want to lift up John Frinthrop, Jim's brother. He has been at St. Luke's East with some kidney concerns. He's been a diabetic for a number of years, but it looks like now he's going to be on dialysis and looking toward a kidney transplant at some time in the future. So please remember John Frinthrop as he embarks on this journey here. Dan Carlisle is now home, a lengthy recovery ahead, but making good progress, so we praise God for that. Sheila Killian was leaving today with her son Chris to go to the Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis to be assessed. One more trip to see if she's eligible to become a lung transplant patient. She'll be there from today through about Wednesday or Thursday. So please remember Sheila, as she certainly has a lengthy process here to determine what's going to be taking place for her. We praise God that Emily Boswell's left eye cataract surgery went well right after the right eye, and so she's home and making good progress. John and Dorinda Hoke still are in our prayers, and we lift up Gwen Staffney's sister, Susan Peterson, as she's in hospice care in Minnesota. And also we lift up Luella Scott's daughter, Joellen Foreman, and Jerry Donahue's nephew, Joey Phillips, as well as certainly a number of other people we've been keeping in mind week by week. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence in prayer this morning.
Merciful and loving God, we offer you thanksgiving for the privilege to worship you this Lord's Day. With our heads bowed during this time of prayer, we know with certainty that you hear our prayers and that we do indeed find you as we seek after your presence. For as Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 tells us, we know we will find you if we search after you with all our heart and soul. And as you declare in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. With equal certainty, we also know, O God, that as we offer our petitions before you, you hear our request and you answer our prayers. For as Jesus declares in John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Thus, in faithful confidence of your words today and every day, we humbly lift up our petitions on behalf of those whom we know personally who have significant needs. It is with confidence in your watchful care over all humanity that we seek your guiding hand for the ails that prevail among people, not only in our own community, but throughout the world. It is with assurance that we claim your victory over those things that burden our hearts, our bodies, our minds, and souls. And we know truly that the victory has been won in Christ. Thus, as we await your living and eternal presence, O God, may each of us be filled with your confident assurance that the greatest battle over sin and death has already been won in Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. In thanksgiving, thus, we offer the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Joy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our word this morning comes from John 4, verses 13 through 15, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 971. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all kingdoms and treasures of the earth, There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Jesus declares to the Samaritan woman at the well that he is the Messiah, whom even the Samaritans had been seeking. And he declares, as their attention is focused on the communal well in the Samaritan town of Sychar, whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The woman's heart and mind are still centered on the practical and worldly matters as she declares to Jesus, "Sir, give me that water, then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come to this well to draw water again." The Samaritan woman is, at this point, still focused on earthly water as she longs for the day when the laborious task of walking to the communal well would be a tiresome task no longer needed. And it is only later, while visiting with Jesus among her fellow townspeople, that she seems to grasp onto the greater spiritual matter that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the Messiah that they all had been seeking after. At the Lord's table this morning, Christ is calling us to set aside our focus on merely the physical concerns, realizing that Christ first and foremost offers to us the living waters of life eternal. This we celebrate, Christ's victory over sin and death, as we gather at the Lord's table, and as we prepare to do so by turning to our communion hymn, it's number 420. We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of I Come With Joy.
I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free. The life of Jesus to recall, in love laid down for me. In love laid down for me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that makes us one, and strangers now are friends, and strangers now are friends. Together met, together bound, by all that God has done, we'll go with joy to give the world the love that makes us one. The love that makes us one.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we come to this table in search of your love. As we take of this bread and cup, we are filled with your spirit, love, and understanding. We take this time to remember how blessed we are to have you in our lives to forgive us and guide us today and every day. Lord, we ask for you to bless this bread and this cup and all who take of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you'll receive a full measure, a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. Remembering Jesus' words, we offer a word of prayer as Barbara leads us and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all the things that you do for us every day. As we look at all the beauty around us, we know you are always in our hearts. Let us share our love for you with our gifts. Bless the gifts and the givers here today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pray this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house this morning, and to truly acknowledge the truth that Christ offers us living waters, that which provides for us the most precious gift of all, life eternal. In his name we give thanks. Amen. You know, it's been kind of hot, although we had a little bit of a break. You know, when I was first putting this sermon together, we didn't have a break in the weather. Now we do, thankfully. Aren't we grateful for that? Right? I was talking with somebody out in West Texas, and they've got that Fandangle kind of outdoor theater thing going on. 105 degrees yesterday. Woo! Boy, I'm so glad I'm not out there melting in the Fandangle anymore. Thank you for allowing me to come to Missouri. You know, believe me, I am so grateful. But you know, our May and June have been what? Hot and dry. Boy, it has been. I thought, I've gone back to where I came from. What is this? It must be me. Seems like everywhere I go, things dry out. You know, it's a terrible feeling. But, you know, it really has been hot. In fact, you know, it's been determined that May of 2018 is one of the five hottest Mays in Kansas City history. Two of those years were, guess what time period? The Dust Bowl. That's right, 1930s, Dust Bowl era. That was two of the five. What about the other three? All have been since the year 2000. Now that's humbling, because we are getting hotter and drier. You know, we often don't miss something until we don't have it. And I think that's the way it is when we think about rain, isn't it? We don't necessarily miss it until we don't have it. But actually, we're about, from what I could gather and looking on the internet, we're about 5 inches below normal. But it seems like it's even more than that because it's been so what? Hot. And I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of plants be distressed, etc. But it's been going on now for some time. Really, it was a very dry fall and winter. In fact, if you like doing gardening and stuff, or just look around, you'll notice a lot of plants were lost through the winter, right? Rose bushes especially. A lot of those knockout roses got knocked out, you know, this winter. They did. Seen some of them, you know, this tall, dead in a doornail now, you know, because of that hot, dry condition. You know, what is the average rainfall for Missouri? Any of you know? See, we've gone away from being farmers so much, we don't know this stuff anymore. 43 inches. What's the average for Kansas City yearly? About 40, 39 to 40 inches. How about Nevada? 7 inches of rainfall a year. Boy, you really want to live there. You don't have to have a lawnmower because all you got out front of your yard is what? Rock. You know? The Sahara Desert. How much rain? Half of it gets an inch or less. The other half of it gets about 4 inches or so a year. You know, but it really is humbling when we get to the point where we're kind of lacking in something as precious and as important as rain. But a trivia question you can share at the, you know, at the water cooler, some work this week. At any given point in time, what percentage of the Earth's surface is receiving water, rain, in the form of rain? What percentage of the Earth's surface is being rained upon at any given time period? What would be your guess? What percentage? 20%. Okay, what else we got? 50%, you think, of the Earth is getting rain at any given time? What else? Any other ideas? Have you ever thought about this? Alan? 1%? Well, that's really being pessimistic, isn't it? Hey. The real truth of the matter is between 2 and 3% of the earth receives rain at any given point in time. Now, it's actually a lot lower than you think. That means that the other percentage of the earth's surface is in the process of what? Evaporation. And boy, can be really serious. You know, when I was leaving West Texas, I told Carrie, I said, you know, we really got to go back to the Midwest, you know, where they have these things coming out of the ground called trees, and they have this stuff falls out of the sky called rain. In 2015, when I was leaving West Texas, our reservoir in that portion of the state was down to 17% capacity. We were really beginning to worry. Not, you know, the ranch land was gone already. All the grasslands were already gone. We were wondering about whether we'd have water to, you know, brush our teeth, do our laundry. Forget about, nobody did anything with the yards. That was all gone. 17%. Now, thankfully, that's gone back up, and it goes back and forth, but the extremes have become more prevalent. The extremes are really what is becoming more and more of a factor.
Again, it reinforces just how precious of a gift rain is. You know, rain is talked about a lot in the Bible. Well, why? You know what the average rainfall is for all of the land of Israel? About 21 inches a year. That's not a lot. That's a whole lot less we get, right? That's at the best spots. If you look at Negev, which is a good chunk of that southern portion of the land of Israel, they get about a 1 point something or another inches of rain a year. That's pretty dry. That's like, you know, looking at the Sahara Desert. Yet in the scriptures, time and time again, there is this notion of God's blessing through rain. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34. I will bless them and let them live around my sacred hill. There I will bless them with showers of rain when they are needed. The trees will bear fruit, the fields will produce crops, and everyone will live in safety in his own land. But just that regularity sure is well, isn't it? Absolutely. But you know, that cycle that produces rain, if you really get to thinking about it, it really is a profound miracle of God's creation. Vapor is electromagnetically attracted to dust particles in the air. And that vapor, as it hits that dust particle, creates what is called a vapor droplet. Then what happens is the upward currents push that little droplet up. And then as it comes down, it has an opportunity to catch up with another droplet and forms two. Then it goes up again with the updrafts. And another droplet might kind of catch on, and then it starts falling a little bit more. Now, for those droplets to keep accumulating back and forth, that process is what's called coalescence. After the first service, by the way, someone said, you know, a science teacher really would have liked your message today, Pastor. So I'm trying to help you here. But anyway, that coalescence going back and forth, back and forth. How many times, however, does that little speck of dust that kind of gets caught up with a little bit of moisture, how many times does it go up and down, before it creates what we know as a raindrop? Have any idea? How about a million times? There's a lot of work that goes into creating a drop of rain. A million times up and down, up and down, up and down. To create one drop of rain, coalescence. And so we understand that this whole process of the cycle of that which creates rain is really a miraculous event. And therefore, we look at the text of Job chapter 36, the 26th verse. Behold, God is great and we know him not. The number of his years are unsearchable, for he draws up the drops of water, he distills his mist and rain, which the skies pour down and drop upon man abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of the pavilion? Behold, he scatters his lightning about him and covers the roots of the sea. For by these he judges people, he gives food in abundance, he covers his hand with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. Its crashing declares concerning of him who is jealous with anger against iniquity. And again, as we look at the scriptures in the book of Genesis, it says, when no plant of the field was yet on the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Here the scripture is telling us that you had to have water and that whole cycle to be created for there to be that which would allow life to happen. Even as they're looking at Mars, what are they looking for? Signs of water. Even today, we human beings need rain so bad because What percentage of the human body is actually made of water? I hear different numbers, but I can't hear. 98%. Boy, that would be something. I'll settle for 60%. 60% of your body is water. The brain and the heart are composed of 73% water, and the lungs, 83%. It's no wonder then if you start having your lungs fill up, you're getting too much. Already got a lot there already. Isn't that remarkable how dependent our bodies are? So drink a lot of that stuff. Forget about the soda. Drink more water. It keeps you healthy. We're just made of water. But yet, you know, in our day and age, we are so insulated from the elements, from the earth, because so few of us farm anymore. We're just kind of out of touch. Do you know what percentage of time most American people actually spend indoors today? 92%. Keep track of it and see how much time you spend inside. Carrie and I are a little different. We love to be outside. We love to work in the yard. Although Carrie and I were over here working in the Memorial Garden, Carrie got a bunch of chiggers Friday. Bless your heart. Thank you. We got to get that sprayed. But, you know, we love to be outside. But when we're outside, do we see very many neighbors? No. Just people driving back and forth in cars or just walking out to get the paper. Other than that, indoors. We spend so much time indoors, don't have that appreciation for the earth and for what the earth is all about and how this is such a miraculous context of God's creation, and yet how we are so, so very dependent upon the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 gives us a little warning here. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. And he shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. But you know, as we are in the Lord's house this morning, we focus our attention on this scripture text from the book of John, John's Gospel, the fourth chapter here. Jesus is in this town called Sychar, a Samaritan town. He pauses at the well. That's the place of refreshment and renewal. And of course, the ladies would be gathering there to draw up from the well those liters of water that they would need to take to their homes. Typically, a jug would take about 2 liters, so about the size of one of those pop bottles, right? One of those plastic bottles. Couple of jugs like that, and then they take it home. But back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, they'd have to go. It was a laborious task just getting enough water, much less do the laundry, you see? And yet, as Jesus is talking with the Samaritan woman, Jesus says, whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will come to that person like a spring and provide that person with life-giving water that is eternal life. And of course, what's the woman's response? Verse 15, sir, give me that water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water. In other words, I won't have to work this hard. She's so focused on what? The stuff of day-to-day goings-on. And isn't that how we are? Even in this era of time when all we have to do is turn a spigot, there it is, fresh, clean, potable water. You know, we think nothing of all that, all of the profound conveniences we have, but yet we complain to no end about one thing or another being awry. Yet we are so immensely blessed, blessed far more than any generation of people who've ever lived on the planet. And yet we miss the mark, just as the Samaritan woman was missing the mark here. Jesus is saying, I am offering you life, eternal life, life, living waters. And it is a little later on in the story that we find out she catches on to what Jesus is really saying She and many of the other Samaritan people from her community are brought into that living relationship with God through Jesus the Christ, the Savior. And yeah, you know, it's been a pretty hot, dry spring and start of the summer, although I hear we're supposed to have a big storm tonight, right? But the overall trend is things are getting warm and hot, dry. Whew, what's it up to? Well, we don't know. But what we do know is that when it comes to eternal matters, Christ has already offered to us and offers to you today the living waters of life eternal. And that's a whole lot more important than whether or not Hubbard Creek Reservoir is full or at 17%, right? Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today's your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can truly be transformed. Or maybe today is the day that you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our song of invitation. Actually, it's a flyer in your bulletin because this is not in our hymn book. And as I was thinking about this message, I thought this has got to be the best song ever for today's theme. There shall be showers of blessing, the flyer in your bulletin. Let us sing verses 1 and 4, please. May we stand.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and holy God, as we depart, we know your Spirit empowers us and indeed fills us with so many wondrous blessings. For this we do give thanks as we depart. Guide us as we journey forward with the new week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing and join me in hymn number 608, I Would Be True.
I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be friend of all the foe, the friendless. I would be giving and forget the gift. I would be humble, for I know my weakness. I would look up and laugh and love and lift. I would look up and laugh and love and lift.
forgive me.